Hello and welcome to Trashy Divorces, everybody's favorite good podcast about bad relationships. My name is Stacy, and Alicia, you got somebody for us today.
Holy cats, today I am bringing you the trashy divorce of Michael Douglas. Now, we know that Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones have been married since November 2000, making them one of the longest married couples in Hollywood. Very successful. A lot of folks don't even remember that Michael Douglas was married prior to Catherine Zeta-Jones. Michael Douglas's first wife was Deandra Luker, and they were married in March of 1977. They had a son in December 78, and when they split, here's why it's a big deal for us, it was one of the largest divorce settlements in Hollywood history.
Oh, we do like those.
Here's what's a little trashy, little sassy, little trashy about it. Deandra and Michael had separated years and years before, but they don't get their divorce until he needs to marry Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, interesting.
In total, Michael and Deandra were married 22 years. When they finally got around to ending it, Deandra walks away with two homes and $45 million.
I mean, I bet she's quite comfortable.
$45 million,
yeah.
Two homes, pretty good, but there's so much more to this story. Stacy, what do we have to do?
Let's go, go, go.
Y'all, trash pandas, just buckle up. This one's a fun one.
I just can't wait until we get to his affair with Glenn Close and all of the bunnies.
Happy Easter. All right, let's talk about Michael Douglas's early life. Michael Kirk Douglas was born on September 25th, 1944, making him a Libra man. His parents were both actors, yeah. Kirk Douglas and his mother, Diana Dill. Now, while his mother, Diana Dill, is far less known than his father, Kirk Douglas, Diana Dill still appeared in over 50 films.
Wow.
As well as a long run as Martha Evans in Days of Our Lives. Kirk Douglas, Diana Dill had one other son, Joel, before they divorced. Michael has half-brothers, Peter and Eric, from his father's subsequent marriage to Ann Bidens. Now, Michael Douglas's parents divorced when he was only six, and he will go to live with his mother, Diana. Michael only sees his father sporadically on holidays for a lot of his childhood. Michael is sent off to Eagle Brook School in Deerfield, Massachusetts, before going to the very, very elite Choate School. Not being around his dad a lot for the majority of his childhood, Michael doesn't really have a consistent or very strong father figure in his life.
I'm actually surprised to hear that. I guess my impression of them later is that they were quite close, but yeah, interesting.
It changes a bit, but in his younger days, no. Michael Douglas said that once his stepfather came into his life, he really started to bloom and became more confident. Oh, we're so old. Michael Douglas tells the AARP magazine in 2021, "As a child, I was shy, introverted, cautious. My father was a very intense guy. When he started working in California, those were the days when actors were making five movies a year. The marriage fell apart. I know he loved me, but he felt guilty because his father had abandoned his family. And the one thing Kirk never wanted to do was abandon his children. And he felt like he was doing that. So it was sort of awkward and tense. It wasn't until my mother remarried when I was 13 to a lovely guy named Bill. He was the first man who listened to me and the first I gained some confidence with. And Kirk will always be very grateful to Bill." Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that really is.
So a common misconception about Michael Douglas's early childhood is that he was born into Hollywood royalty. While certainly born of two working actors, it's not really the case. Kirk Douglas, when Michael was born, was not yet a movie star. It's possible that he would have already achieved stardom in Hollywood by the time of Michael's birth, but World War II came along. Kirk Douglas's first film credit wasn't until 1946, 2 years after the birth of Michael.
Okay.
Kirk Douglas was not a leading box office draw until the 1950s. Douglas again tells AARP magazine, "People have this idea that I'm part of show business royalty. I cherish the relationship I had with my father, and I'd love to fulfill the fantasy, but when I was young, he was a working actor and hadn't quite made it yet." Hmm. Once Michael, though, was a teenager, to your point we just mentioned, he does spend a little bit more time with his father, who by this point is a bona fide movie star. Michael would spend much of his summers on film sets, where he begins thinking about becoming an actor as well. When it came time for college, Michael decides to attend the University of California, Santa Barbara. He'll say, "I was at UC Santa Barbara in 1963, and it was a spectacular time to be out in California. I ended up getting a motorcycle and riding in my velour Renaissance shirts up to San Francisco for rock concerts. Then I got called into the vice chancellor's office. You gotta declare a major, man. So I thought, okay, theater. I must say that my father, Kirk, came to just about every show I did, as busy as he was. And he told me right in the beginning, 'Son, you were awful. You were just awful.'" Nepo babies. Whew. So Michael, even though he's awful, decides he wants to pursue acting. And Michael will consistently ask his father for getting help, a foot in the door. "Help me be a Nepo baby."
Yeah, exactly.
But Kirk Douglas was adamant that none of his sons go into the business. "Not going to let you do it. A number one, Michael, you're awful. Like, did you see
did
your
you
performance?"
See yourself?
But Michael Douglas would not be dissuaded. And eventually, Kirk Douglas realized that he was not going to be able to change his son's mind. Eventually, Michael would make his movie debut in 1966 in one of his father's films called Cast a Giant Shadow. Once Michael was done with college, he will move to...
Hollywood?
No, he's already living in Hollywood. Where's the other place you're going to go to make it big? If I can make it there.
New York City.
You got it. He will study at the Neighborhood Playhouse School of Theater, as well as the American Place Theater. So how does Michael become a star? His first television role was in a 1969 CBS Playhouse special called The Experiment. He also had some roles in some small unknown films in the 60s, early 70s. But then Michael gets the role that's really going to launch his career into stardom with the television series The Streets of San Francisco with Carl Malden. This show runs from 1972 to 1977. You were not very much alive then, so let me just refresh you if you want to know about The Streets of San Francisco. This is about a veteran cop that was played by Carl Malden and his protege, played by Michael Douglas, and they go around San Francisco catching criminals. A lot like Monk, a little more germs. Okay. In 1976, Michael Douglas will become a household name. How does that happen? This year, 76, Michael will win an Academy Award when the film he produced won Best Picture. That film was a little joint called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Sure.
And it won 5 Academy Awards in total. Michael Douglas also won the BAFTA Award for Best Picture for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Great success. Apparently, Michael's not as awful as he used to be in acting. Let's go ahead and get to the trashy love section of the story. Michael Douglas does have a long relationship with a lady named Brenda Vaccaro. There is also a hippie wedding. Think about, do you remember Julia Roberts in The Runaway Bride and the first wedding she has and they're all hippies and they're getting married on the trampoline? It's a lot kind of like that.
Okay.
So Michael Douglas was never legally married to fellow actor Brenda Vaccaro, but they were in a relationship a long time, 6 years, from 1970 to 1976, and had what Michael refers to as a quote-unquote hippie wedding. Vaccaro, Brenda, tells Closer Weekly in 2017, "This was the 1970s. No one got married. Then we decided to have a hippie wedding at my agent's house. We said vows that we loved each other and would be together forever." How did they meet? Brenda goes on, I did Midnight Cowboy and he fell in love with me and asked his dad, Kirk Douglas, to introduce us and offer me a part in Summer Tree. He was a great guy and I loved him, but I didn't want to marry him. Brenda would change her mind about that. She'll say, finally, it came time to say that we were doing it for real. And I said yes, and then wound up backing out of it. I really messed that one up. Brenda backed out because she had fallen in love. Not with Michael, but with another actor named Don Stroud. Brenda says she will come to regret this decision later. She'll say, there was a really strong connection, spiritually, sexually, and so overpowering, I could not handle it. My dear friend Robert Shaw, who was making Jaws, told me what I was doing was rash and I was making a mistake. The momentary pleasures, like the one with Don, would lead to lasting regrets if I broke up with Michael. I regret all of it. Everything was different back then. There were a lot of drugs. We hung out with Angelica Houston and Jack Nicholson, and it was a crazy time. We still have yet to talk about the Angelica Houston, Jack Nicholson trashy breakup here. This is a fantastic time to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to get to Michael's first marriage to Deandra Luker.
We'll be right back. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
All right, so non-marriage number one.
Hippie wedding done.
Out.
Brenda has fallen in love and ditched Michael. So let's talk about Deandra Luker. It is in 1977, on the heels of the breakup from Brenda, that Michael Douglas, 32 years old, becomes enamored with Deandra Luker. You want to guess?
Oh, I hope it's legal.
19.
Okay, legal. Okay.
Yikes!
Come on.
John Mayer, Taylor Swift, 32-19.
Sure. Agree.
Michael Douglas becomes enamored with Deandra after meeting her, you ready, at the inauguration of Jimmy Carter.
Oh my God.
Deandra was a daughter of a wealthy Swiss-American diplomat and was studying at Georgetown's Walsh School of Foreign Service. To say it was a whirlwind romance would be an understatement. Michael Douglas proposed to Deandra just 2 weeks after they met. They were married just 6 weeks after they met.
That's fast.
So fast. Deandra and Michael will move to Los Angeles.
Sure, after knowing each other for 2 months.
2 months, gonna work out great. Their only child, Cameron, was born in December 1978. Unfortunately, Hollywood life does not suit Deandra. She had grown up in a small town on the island of Majorca, and then attended a few American boarding schools. So, different. Deandra will tell Harper's Bazaar, I felt fairly lost in that world, the world of hype and endless make-believe. Hollywood isn't going to do it for.
Yeah, Hollywood is known for hype and make-believe.
So the family moves to Santa Barbara, and then eventually they'll go back to the East Coast. They'll go to New York City. Although her name is not really well known, Deandra was very accomplished. She doesn't just settle for being the wife of a famous actor. Deandra will produce documentaries for the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Office of Film and Television. She was involved in many, many charities. Deandra will even team up with Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis to host charity galas for the Met. Deandra also capitalized on her striking looks and, of course, begins modeling for Eileen Ford. These were the years when Michael Douglas's career was at its peak. During the marriage of Deandra and Michael, he starred in many of his most famous films. Let's go through a little list.
Yeah.
Romancing the Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Fatal Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
War of the Roses.
Mm-hmm.
Jewel of the Nile. Basic Instinct. Wall Street. Falling Down. And Disclosure. Those are just a few.
Wow, that's like the 80s all rolled together.
Michael's just not starring in films, though. He's producing films as well. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at this list. Romancing the Stone. Jewel of the Nile. Flatliners, Shining Through, Radio Flyer. I loved that movie, Radio Flyer.
I loved Flatliners.
Made in America is another one he produced. Lots going on with Michael during these years. When in Mexico filming Romancing the Stone, Kathleen Turner admitted the chemistry between her and Michael Douglas was not just on screen. Kathleen Turner said that she really felt in her heart, it's her feeling, that Michael was separated from Deandra at the time. But Kathleen Turner will soon realize that Deandra was not under the impression that Michael was single at all. Kathleen Turner tells The Guardian in January 2023, I think we might have been falling in love, but then Deandra flew down and made it clear that she did not consider Michael to be available. So that ended. Because I can't get involved in another woman's relationship. But oh my, that attention is delicious.
Good for her, by the way.
100%.
Strong decision there.
When asked how close Kathleen Turner came to dating Michael Douglas, she replied with, none of your business. Neither Michael nor Deandra has gone into detail about the reasons for their split, but both have made some comments that make it pretty clear that it's Michael's behavior that's the primary issue here.
That doesn't surprise me too terribly much, particularly given what Kathleen Turner just said.
So let's get into this next little section. It was Michael Douglas's kind of double dip in here, infidelity and substance abuse, that caused many of the issues in the marriage. In 1992, Michael Douglas checks himself into rehab for, quote-unquote, drinking and drugging. In Mark Elliott's biography of Michael Douglas, Elliott expands on the situation and writes, after completing Falling Down, perhaps to repair his relationship with Deandra, Michael took her and Cameron to Spain to spend the summer of 1992 at their hillside retreat in Mallorca. They were joined for part of the trip by Jack Nicholson and his girlfriend at the time, Rebecca Broussard. It was not a good mix. Upon their return to the States, rumors began to spread that Michael's marriage was once again on the rocks, especially after it was reported that one night just before the trip, Deandra had found Michael in bed with another woman, a charge that was never acknowledged or denied. It was supposed to have taken place at Michael's office at the Beverly Wilshire, and the woman in question was supposed to have been one of Deandra's best friends.
Oh, no.
Whether or not it actually happened, what was undeniable was that Michael was drinking too much and taking too many drugs and was filled with a kind of exhaustion and despair that no vacation in Spain could repair. Upon their return, with no warming between them, Deandra insisted that Michael either get professional help or get out of her life. Good on you, Deandra.
Yeah, boundaries.
While at the Sierra Tucson Clinic, it was reported that Michael was also being treated for sexual addiction.
Hmm.
So we really got a triple header here. Yeah. Infidelity, substance abuse, sexual addiction.
Whole lot going on.
Biographer John Parker writes, encouraged by his counselor, Michael reportedly began his program of self-discovery when he stood up, head bowed, and gave a lengthy commentary about his inner demons and the problems that had turned him into something of a Jekyll and Hyde character. He confessed to the group of 8 fellow sufferers, "Sex is just a wave that sweeps over me, an impulse that is overpowering. I'm helpless every time." He also admitted to a problem with alcohol and drugs. He also said his wife had kicked him out of the bedroom, having been repulsed by his apparently uncontrollable actions. Michael Douglas, for his part, does not deny his addiction to substances, but he does take a little umbrage to the sex addiction part. Michael Douglas later says, "Despite all the information one accumulates, and despite all the damage you know, smoking wreaks on people, they still do it. It's the same with alcohol. Drinking has nothing to do with highs, thrills, whatever. It has to do with many other causes. I'm not self-destructive. Where did that sex addiction stuff come from? Some smart British editor decided to make the story about sex addiction. That hung around since 1992, and that little lie has gotten a lot of press. Affected how people looked at me." Go back to our Natalie Wood story. There's a lot about Kirk Douglas not to like, but when his father, Michael's father, Kirk Douglas, heard about the sex addiction part, Kirk Douglas laughs and laughs and laughs and says, "What's wrong with sex addiction? I've been addicted to sex my whole life."
Not quite what, yeah, okay.
Kirk Douglas, I listen to that. Tape it, listen back, hear how that sounds, my dude.
Yeah, when you put the word addiction on the after another word, it indicates that it is negatively impacting your life.
What's wrong with sex addiction? I've been addicted to sex my whole life. See, I can say that, but just sub sex addiction for queso. What's wrong with queso? All right. For Michael and Deandra, rehab does not save the marriage. In 1994, Deandra reveals that it was just too difficult to deal with his affairs, the infidelity, et al., and Michael and Deandra separate. This is 94. So in 1995, Deandra decides that she's had enough, and she's going to file for divorce, citing
irreconcilable differences.
Ding, ding, ding. This apparently happened after Deandra had hired a private investigator to follow Michael. That private investigator takes photographic evidence of him in a hotel room with another woman.
Wow.
95, Deandra files for divorce. Filed. But it's going to be years and years and years before they finalize it. And in the meantime, during just the divorce pending, Michael Douglas meets and falls in love with a beautiful Welsh actress, Catherine Zeta-Jones. There's no keeping Michael Douglas down. He sees Catherine Zeta-Jones in 1998's The Mask of Zorro.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even meet her in real life, just sees her on film, and Michael Douglas knows, that's the girl for me.
It's over.
So Michael Douglas calls his publicist.
Oh, God. Like you do.
Like you do. To set him up on a date, and the two, Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, eventually met at the DuVille Film Festival, where they were both promoting films. The publicist did as he was requested and arranged a meeting. Michael Douglas says, "I met her in the bar and was a total gentleman." He'll ask Catherine Zeta-Jones, "By chance, do you want to come back and have a nightcap?" When Catherine met up with Michael later that night, Douglas told her, "You know, I'm going to be the father of your children."
Wow.
Michael Douglas reported that Catherine Zeta-Jones responded, "You know, I've heard a lot about you, and I've seen a lot about you, and I think it's time that I say goodnight." Ouch.
You know, all of these women making very strong choices here. I really like this.
Catherine may have left that night, but it was not the end of the relationship. Eventually, Michael and Catherine, the two, fall in love and get engaged on New Year's Eve 1999 in Aspen, Colorado.
Okay, but he's still married.
Yeah, that's just one problem. He's still married to Deandra.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break here and find out how it all shuffles down on the back end.
I can't wait to hear. We'll be right back.
So yeah, a handy tip, I guess, from us at Trashy Divorces. Get divorced before you propose to the next one.
I'm so curious why this divorce was taking so long.
It may have been his motivation to marry Catherine Zeta-Jones that led in part to the divorce settlement being one of the biggest in Hollywood history at that time. Catherine's, you know, wearing the ring. She's engaged to a married man, but the stakes get a little bit higher when Catherine Zeta-Jones announces
she's pregnant.
You got it. I'm going to be the father of your children.
He did say it.
True, true. When all was said and done, Deandra Luker walked away with $45 million and a few of their estates. Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones welcome a son in August 2000. They will get married a few months later, November 18th, 2000. In 2002, they welcome their second child, a daughter. Many years later, in 2011, Deandra gives an interview to Harper's Bazaar and reveals some things from her marriage to Douglas for the first time. Deandra said, "For years, I've never said a word to anyone. I don't feel that two wrongs make a right. I'm not into mudslinging, and I refuse to lower myself to even tell you the tip of the iceberg. I loved Michael very much when I married him, and I don't think love ever really disappears. It might metamorphose, but I certainly don't think that hate is the right recipe. I'm really happy that he's madly in love and has two lovely children." As for Michael's retrospective take on the marriage, he will tell The Mirror in 2013.
Oh, okay. It's okay.
I know I'm going to get in a lot of trouble here.
Oh, my
God. I have nothing against her, and in fact, I'm very fond of my first wife. But we should have ended that marriage 8 or 10 years earlier. It took me too long to realize that if you go to a marriage counselor to resolve problems, it's in his interest to keep the marriage going. Because if I end the marriage, he's got no business. I think Deandra would probably say the same thing. That's the only clear regret I have. Now, honestly, I know some couples that have gone to marriage counseling and the counselor has said, "You two do not need to be together."
Mm-hmm.
Therapists are not going to keep you in counseling any longer than you need to be. They're going to help. If there is no help, they're going to say, "Fly, little birds. Fly, fly, fly." All right, you'd think this would be the end of the legal drama between Michael and Deandra, but no, we're just getting started. Let's talk a little bit about some legal and health dramas.
Okay.
In 2010 and 2011, pretty difficult years for Michael Douglas and his entire family. In 2009, Michael Douglas's son, Cameron, from his first wife, was in the midst of a strong drug addiction. He was arrested in a New York City hotel for possession of crystal meth and cocaine. Mm-hmm. Due to the large amount that he was arrested with, he was charged with intent to distribute, put on house arrest to await his trial. That's normally where you do some reckoning about the choices that you've made, but not Michael Douglas's son. During that time, Michael Douglas's son's girlfriend smuggled heroin to him by hiding it in an electric toothbrush. In January 2010, Cameron pled guilty to conspiracy to distribute drugs and for heroin possession. In April 2010, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison. On the Today Show in May 2010, Michael Douglas said, "My son has not been sober for this length of time since he was 13 years old. So he was going to be dead, or somebody was going to kill him, and I think he has a chance to start a new life, and he knows that. And from my understanding, it's going to take that amount of time for him to rebuild and start himself afresh." In that same interview, Michael Douglas accepts his share of the responsibility, acknowledging that addictive traits are genetic. He'll say, "I've taken the blame about being a bad father. If being a bad father is working your butt off trying to create a career at one time, I've also confessed the fact that I was in rehab 20 years ago. So we had that issue, and as far as his mother was concerned, she was a very young mother when she had Cameron, and her skills were limited to such an extent. The other part, of course, is genes. I lost a brother with an overdose 4 years ago. I have another brother who's been on the program for years. My ex-wife's family has alcoholism running in it, so you have that part.
Wow, that's a significant family history.
And then you finally end up with who you choose to hang out with. In Cameron's position, he took a lot of lowlifes, and he was a very attractive target to hang out with, and I don't think that helped either. I'm willing to take the hit.
There's a lot.
There's a lot going on. In October 2010, Michael Douglas will tell The Guardian, "I'm not driven like I once was. These days, I am consumed with being a father and with my responsibilities as a husband. I never anticipated starting a family at my age. I'm genuinely happy to let Catherine work while I stay home with the children. I cherish this time. During my first marriage, my career was the most important thing in my life. I clearly know I made mistakes. There were absences. My eldest son, Cameron, is in the middle of a very, very difficult and tragic time. Cameron has made a couple of big mistakes in his life. He's paid the price. On the other side of it, he's sober. The kids really miss him, and he misses them. I've taken them to visit. Now that my own priorities are entirely different, I'm always encouraging people to wait to have a family. Get yourself sorted career-wise first as much as you can." I think that's great advice. Get yourself sorted career-wise first as much as you can. Solid advice, Michael.
Easier for men than women.
100%.
But yeah, still good advice.
I'm not saying it's fair. Just saying it's good advice if you can take it. So, a lot happening in this time period. So, in addition to all of that stress with Cameron and the kids, both Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones in that same year were diagnosed both with some very serious health struggles. Michael Douglas was diagnosed with cancer. Catherine Zeta-Jones was diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder.
This seems radically unfair.
In 2010, Michael Douglas announced that he had been diagnosed with throat cancer.
I recall this.
Interestingly, though, in 2013, he revealed that he didn't actually have throat cancer, but was instead tongue cancer. Why would he not just say what he had? Michael Douglas says his surgeon suggested to say it was throat cancer to help protect his career. Michael Douglas says the surgeon said, "Let's just say it's throat cancer. It's not going to be pretty. You could lose part of your tongue and jaw." Luckily, Michael Douglas's cancer was successfully treated with an aggressive form of radiation and chemotherapy. While battling cancer, Michael Douglas has another battle that is presented to him, and this time, I told you the story wasn't over, it's a legal one. In 2010, Michael's ex-wife, Deandra, sues Michael Douglas for half of his earnings from Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. Let's unpack this. Deandra feels entitled to this because their divorce settlement said that Deandra would receive proceeds from projects related to work Michael did when they were married.
Yeah, that's normally how that works.
They were married during the original Wall Street, so Deandra and her lawyers argue that Deandra should get half of his earnings from the sequel.
Oh, interesting. That's a lot sketchier as a legal argument.
It was an ugly battle. Garnered a lot of bad press for Deandra, which then caused Deandra to do some interviews defending herself. Ultimately, a Manhattan judge threw the case out when he ruled that a New York court was not the proper venue for the suit without ruling on the merits of the case.
Huh.
This New York judge told Deandra that she would need to sue Michael Douglas in a California court where they had divorced. Deandra had been living in New York City, and since she had three children under 8 years old, it would be kind of inconvenient for her to travel to Santa Barbara for the litigation. Deandra argues that Michael Douglas was also living in New York City at the time, so it certainly was the proper venue. Douglas's attorney says It was, quote, distasteful to make a matter of his residency when he's been in the city to get treatment for throat cancer. Mr. Douglas is cancer-stricken tragically, and Deandra Douglas's team has the audacity to imply that we misled the court. He stayed in New York. We all know the reasons why. Deandra's lawyers asked the judge to reconsider his ruling and overturn it, causing the exes to go back to court. Michael Douglas's attorney says in court that Deandra, quote, should be ashamed of herself for seeking more money when she's gotten more than $51 million from him in the divorce and her stake in some earnings afterward, unquote.
It does seem a little oddball.
Deandra tells Harper's Bazaar in 2011, I am not a greedy person by nature. I ask myself every night if I should walk away. Deandra's request that the decision be overturned was denied in June 2011. So far, there has been no word of a new lawsuit in California about the issue.
I guess you can get it into your head that there's a principle at stake that it's important to defend, right? Like, but I don't know. If I was sitting on 45, 50 mil, would I want to waste my time in court?
Probably not. Would I want to give any of the millions I have to attorneys to try to get more millions? No, let me just invest a little better.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're not done. We're not done with the story. So we've got Michael Douglas being treated for cancer, legal battles. In April 2011, Catherine Zeta-Jones revealed that she had been diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder and was really open about it in order to help educate the public. Catherine Zeta-Jones was 41 at the time. She will say, she fell victim to the disorder's wild mood swings after her husband, Michael Douglas, went through a high-profile battle with stage 4 throat cancer and then endured a court fight with Douglas's first wife over proceeds from the Wall Street movie sequel. Zeta-Jones's publicist said, after dealing with the stress of the past year, Catherine made the decision to check into a mental health facility for a brief stay to treat her bipolar 2 disorder. Great news. Mm-hmm. ABC News consultant Howard Bragman said he thought her announcement would help destigmatize mental illness. Howard Bragman says, no matter what the reason, it was courageous on her part to own this to such a specificity. I think it will create a teachable moment in the dialogue among healthcare people, among normal people. But, there's, you know, more serious fallout from his bout with cancer.
Sure.
So in June 2013, Michael Douglas was asked in an interview with The Guardian if blamed a lifetime of drinking and smoking on his cancer diagnosis from 2010.
And he did not, if I recall.
That is not what Michael Douglas replied.
Mm.
Michael Douglas replies in response to the question, oh gosh, how much do you blame drinking and smoking? Michael Douglas says no, because without wanting to get too specific, this particular cancer is caused by HPV. This is the human papilloma virus.
Yep.
Which actually comes about from cunnilingus. I did worry if the stress caused by my son's incarceration didn't help trigger it, but yeah, it's a sexually transmitted disease that causes cancer. And if you have it, cunnilingus is also the best cure for it. Now, perhaps you...
This was like a world historic humble brag.
Oh my God. Many folks were a little surprised about the frankness of that answer.
Yes.
I mean, own it, man. Own it. And that's good. Like, I am not for shame. You know, like, live your life. Tell your truth. If you tell your truth, you got nothing to hold against me.
Also, worth noting that HPV is now vaccine preventable.
Yeah.
Your kids vaxxed.
Okay, so Michael Douglas, cool. You know, frankness of answer. Everybody's like, wow, that was pretty bold. There was one person that was not too happy about the frankness of Michael Douglas's answer. You want to guess who that was?
Would that be his wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Oh, you bet your tail it was. In fact, just 2 months after that statement in August 2013... Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones announced they are separating. Not helped by the fact that a medical professor told The Guardian that Douglas's hypothesis medically just doesn't make sense. Although they never specifically said that their separation was because of his cunnilingus comments, Michael later apologized for quote-unquote embarrassing Catherine. I mean, maybe just shut up, Hubs.
Say less.
Yeah, say less, Michael. You didn't need to tell anybody that. The couple does work things out. By 2014, they're back together. In 2015, Michael Douglas tells Ellen on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, I'm crazy about her. And yeah, I think every couple has their difficult times. The only problem is, as you well know, we're all in the public eye, and it tends to get a little bit more exposed than most. We're back stronger than ever. Also in 2015, Michael Douglas said, I so regretted any embarrassment that it caused Catherine and her family. What I was trying to say was that there's a sexually transmitted virus called HPV, but there's a vaccination that they recommended to all kids before they become sexually active so they don't catch HPV, mm-hmm. which is the cause of certain types of cancer, cervical cancer, tongue, and throat. I was trying to make a public service announcement.
I am terrible at public service announcements. No, I'm glad he's promoting the vaccine as well. It's...
Yeah, 100%. But better it way is to unpack that.
It is a vaccine against cancer. It's amazing. It's a miracle.
Just trying to make a public service announcement.
In the clumsiest way I could think.
All right. I got one more little bit to wrap this story up, because we're not exactly done with Deandra.
Oh, no.
This story is simply incredible. So, in August of 2016, Michael Douglas's son Cameron is released from prison. He spends 7 years behind bars, including time prior to his sentencing. Cameron, congratulations, wonderful news, is clean and sober and has 2 young children.
Good for him.
Cameron Douglas also in 2016 wrote a memoir about overcoming his addiction struggles that's titled Long Way Home. And things progress. Michael and Catherine back together. Catherine's working. Michael's taking care of the kids. But let's just go back to just last year, 2023. Michael Douglas and Deandra Lucar were back to settling more issues from their divorce
from 23 years ago.
Their divorce settlement from 2000. All right, here's what's up. Allows both of them, Michael and Deandra, to have 6 months of access to their Spanish vacation home in Mallorca.
Little timeshare situation
little
there.
Little timeshare. So for the last 23 years that they have been divorced, Michael has a new marriage. She's got new kids. Like, it's all fine. All good. They essentially split the home. 6 months timeshare you, 6 months timeshare me. However, in August of 2023, Michael Douglas was very pleased to announce that he and his ex-wife Deandra had agreed upon a deal that would allow Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones to purchase her share of the home. In November 2023, Michael Douglas had this to say. Understatement of the year. It was very uncomfortable to share the house of Stestaca with my ex-wife, Deandra. 6 months each was not a pleasant thing for anyone. Now that everything is arranged and the house is 100% ours, Catherine's and mine, I can say I never wanted to leave. My children will continue to come, and my grandchildren and their children. I am sure for generations this island will be theirs. This house belongs to my family, and it will continue to be. He names all of his children here. They all love it. My daughter speaks Spanish perfectly. Happy wife, happy life. My ex-wife, Deandra, is no longer an owner, a partner with us, so we have the house together, and Catherine's very happy here. I couldn't think of anywhere else, anywhere in the Mediterranean, where I can see such a coastline. Nice, they bought the whole house. Now it's all theirs. And that same month, Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones celebrated 23 years of marriage. Catherine's bipolar disorder is well managed, and Michael Douglas is cancer-free.
All's well that ends well.
That is the trashy divorce saga of Michael Douglas and his first real wife, not hippie wedding, Deandra Lucar. And the rest of the story, too. There was a lot packed into that one.
A lot packed in. Yeah, I can understand why he might want that retirement property. He's pushing 80 these days, right?
Yeah, he'll be 80, I think, in September.
Oh, wow. Well, this happy year. Birthday. Yeah. I'd go live on an island, too.
If you could have an island,
right?
Why wouldn't you?
Knock yourself out.
What's wrong with a Mediterranean island? I've been addicted to Mediterranean islands my whole life. All right. That is the Trashy Divorces saga of Michael Douglas. I don't even really know.
I feel like there are trash cans.
Hippie weddings, divorce settlements. I mean, good on you for battling and going on your sober and sex journey. There's a lot of stuff. Maybe say less, Michael.
Maybe say less.
Don't. Just don't. Anyway, I don't even know how to compute that. They're all on a Mediterranean island, all the trash cans in Mallorca. I bet they're beautiful.
I bet they are.
Around palm trees and
that
water.
Coastline in the distance.
Gorgeous. All those trash cans probably just looking lost in the world of hype and endless make-believe. Holy cats, that was a lot of fun. Thank y'all for tuning in today. We are so excited to be back for season 22.
We're feeling it.
So feeling it. Thank you for tuning in, for listening, for telling your friends about what we do here at Trashy Divorces and Trashy Royals and Done and Done, for your kind reviews, for your emails. And as always, big thanks to our new supporters and all of our sustaining supporters over on Patreon, getting all the bonus episodes early and ad-free all the time.
Friends, we'll be back with you on Wednesday, and until we meet again...
Can't stop, won't stop.
I hope that you will keep your hands clean.
I hope you keep your throats clean, too. And your hearts terribly, terribly trashy until we meet again. Big love, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye. And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram. And definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.